1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. A house divided cannot stand. We know that from other scriptures. It says here, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." You realize what all he said right there? "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." There was a lot of problems at the church at Corinth, but it was a church. I was thinking about this the other day. They had some real serious stuff going on at Corinth.
Yeah.
But it was still a church. It was still a church. He was still addressed as a church, addressed as brethren. They had a lot of problems there, but God wasn't ready to remove their candlestick. No. They just needed some instruction. They needed some reproof and rebuke and exhortation, and they needed to be instructed in righteousness. And we need to remember that. You know, I hear so much complaining about the churches nowadays from people that won't have any part of it. The churches, the biggest critics of the churches are people who won't darken the door of a church. And I don't think you got any right to open your mouth and criticize what you don't even know about.
Exactly.
I've been involved in it for a long time. And I know a lot of the problems, but I know a lot of the good things too. And I believe in the church, the local church. I believe you ought to be a part of it. I believe it's more than that. I believe if you're really a born-again child of God, you will be a part of a local church. I just flat believe that if you refuse. Now, I know there's people that can't, that's sick, and you're laid up, and different things like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I'm talking about is a stubborn, rebellious heart full of hatred toward church people. And all this modern stuff of everybody knows everything. Everybody knows it all and knows better. That is not the way the church is supposed to operate.
Right.
And nobody's supposed to improve on things. I mean, if you try to do that, you're just like all these contemporary idolaters.
Yep.
You need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints.
Yes.
You need to receive instruction from elders who have been in it longer than you and who have been faithful and who love God and live right. You need to listen to them, and you need to take to heart what they tell you and teach you and go and do likewise.
Right.
Not try to find all the faults you can find with them. I mean, can you imagine what we preached this morning if there were the people there? And there were certainly people in Israel who would have done it, but who was criticizing David that day? Who was finding fault and saying he should have done this and he should have done that and I know a better way. But that's the attitude of this whole generation. I get weary about it. I get impatient with people because with their self-made wisdom and knowledge and they're mixed up as a termite and a yo-yo. Most of them are. They wouldn't know God if he walked up and slapped them in the face. But all that's just extra. What we're talking about here tonight, and I want to try to hurry. One of the most important things that make for peace and happiness and fruitfulness in a church, in a marriage, in a family, or in any group of people is that they be like-minded. Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" That's a question. What's the answer? Obvious answer, no, they can't. Two can't walk together except they be agreed. You've got to be of the same mind. What gave the church such power in the beginning? They were of one mind and one accord. And they were in one place and they prayed and the place was shaken where they prayed. The whole secret was that they believed right and they all believed it together. And they were living and united for a purpose and a cause. And it wasn't anything about who could be the greatest or who could straighten out who or who could add something to. It was, they were in unity. And they had leaders who led them and taught them. And they followed their leaders. God set the church up that way. God set the home up that way. Everything God set up, He set it up that way. Everybody ain't the leader. And everybody don't get a say, don't get to steer the ship. That's just not how it works. Now, modern churches do it that way. They vote on everything. And you know, I know situations right now that's just it's a disaster in waiting. I mean, it's just a matter of time until it's going to blow sky high. Because people want to have it their way. And people have their opinions, Gary, that are not based on fact. They're based on what they want and what they think, not on fact. And when you try to do that, I mean, you're just not going to go. If you got a ship in the sea and everybody on the ship's trying to get a hold of that rudder, where are you going to go? In circles. Until you run into something, another ship or something, and sink. That's about what will happen. So nothing can be accomplished in any kind of situation, a home, a church, anything, if everyone is of a different opinion. You just can't. Gary said it last week. Opinions have no place in the work of God, in the kingdom of God. There's no room for opinions when it comes to the direction and what is believed among us. We got to have a unity of agreement. I've always said this. If you can't believe what the church believes, then you ought to go somewhere else. Now, the churches nowadays, they want to try to get everybody together and just, well, I respect your opinion. We can differ. We can agree to disagree. Well, you ain't going nowhere doing that. You got to have people that agree and that think alike and have the same values and they get it from the same source. Or you ain't going nowhere. A house divided can't stand. It just can't stand. Unless you're like-minded, you know, you can't influence other people for God if your group is fragmented and full of confusion because of disagreements and discords. You're not going to, I mean, a church is absolutely grounded when you've got divisions among them. Right. Don't matter how big the church is or how small the church is. A marriage is not going to be a happy marriage when you're not in agreement. Why you ought to marry somebody, that's this whole deal of opposites attract, that's the fool's wisdom. That is not the way it works. You marry somebody who totally the opposite of you, and you are not going to be happy. Neither are your children. You have to agree. Unless you're like-minded and in unity, you can have no purpose or direction. And that goes for everything. Mainly I'm focusing on the church tonight because he's talking to a church here. But you can apply this in your home, your marriage, any other thing that you go to do where people are trying to work together to accomplish something. You know, if you took the military, for example, what if everybody had to vote on every move they made? What if you had to do a survey and see what everybody thought before you did it? You gonna fight a war like that?
No.
No, you ain't gonna fight no war like that. You're going to have generals and all of the rest of the ranks down, and you're going to have men with boots on that just fight and do what they're told, right when they're told to do it, no matter what the cost. And that's the only way it's going to work. It's the only way you're going to accomplish anything, the only way you're going to win. So how can we be like-minded? Well, we can pressure people to comply with rules and standards and put on some kind of a facade of being one accord. And we can even exclude people if they don't measure up to the standards and all and obey the rules. But you can't force people to be of the same mind. And independent Baptists have learned a hard lesson here. Some of them have never learned yet. But, you know, it's for years it's been that way. As long as you cut your hair right and you dress right and you do the right things and talk the right way, you're good. But I've seen them so many. They can look just like the perfect model of a Christian young man or woman and be so far out of sync with everybody else. So that's not the deal, see? How do we be like-minded? Well, that's not the way to do it. People may join in and be an active part of a social organization without being in agreement with the stated purposes and standards that that organization stands for. You can join anything, the Lions Club, the Eagles Club, the Elks Club, the Boy Scouts, you can join anything. Women have all kinds of clubs to join. And people do that without believing what these people believe. They just want the social part of it. They want to be around people. They want the excitement. They want the benefits. They want to belong somewhere, but they don't agree with everybody there or anybody there. Well, you can put up an outward show of unity, but if the hearts and the minds of the people are not in agreement together, it's a vain show. The only time churches go forward is when they're in unity of mind, in one mind and one accord, about why they're there, what they're doing, who's in charge, and what we're here for. I mean, you know, what are we going to do? What are we about? What are we? And it takes dedication. You can't just have a loose organization that just meets once, two, three times a week, and then the rest of the time everybody's on their own, everything else. Nobody's concerned about nothing about the church until we meet together. That ain't no church. You ain't going nowhere. Ain't no one mind, one accord. Everybody's got their own life, their own desires, their own pleasures that they're seeking after. Ain't nobody really in that kind of situation in. When we were young, you know, we went to Victory up there, and it was a totally different situation. It was a lot of young people our age. That's what the church was made of. There was a few old people, but mostly young people. And everybody that I know, there was a couple of couples that weren't really in. They came to church. They were faithful to church. Missed Wednesday a lot. But, you know, they had a lot of worldly things going on in their life, and so they weren't there like everybody else was. But the most of us were there every time. That's all our life was about. We didn't join the Boy Scouts. We didn't play on the ball teams. We didn't do nothing but what was going on at church. We went visiting on Thursday night. We had church on Wednesday night. We had prayer meeting on Saturday night. We had buses and everything all day Sunday, all day. And then there was something else going on usually on one of the other nights. Say, well, I don't know why you even did. Well, we did okay. There was life in the place. Everybody was in one accord. Everybody had a purpose and a reason for being there. And that's what their life was about. It wasn't just a token thing they did. The ones who were there, who you treated it that way, you ought to see their lives now. Then you ought to see the children they've raised and their grandchildren they've raised. And they're still doing the same thing they've always done. They don't change a thing. They're just going to do this much and that's all they're going to do. Takes more. It takes more than that. To be of one mind and one accord. How can you be in one mind and one accord with your wife if you only see her two or three times a week and the rest of the time you're somebody else doing other things? You just meet to say hi, you know, sing a couple songs together. Now, it ain't going to work, is it? No. It ain't going to do nothing. No. You might enjoy it and say, well, that's just my life. That's what I like. But you're not going to accomplish anything. And the church is not going to accomplish anything like that. Corinth here had lots of problems. And we're in chapter 1. This is the first thing he's dealing with. Divisions. You can't do this. You people can't live like this. You can't have a church like this. You're going to have to stop this. This contentions between you. You're going to have to start getting along. And more than that, you're going to have to get your minds thinking alike. You're not going to have peace. And you're not going to have unity until you start thinking alike. You can put on, you know, there's some reasons why people are like-minded or why they're divided. There's some reasons why this happens. So what are the reasons people are like-minded or they're in disagreement? All right, now listen to me, and I'll try to run through this quickly, and it's pretty simple, really. Just common sense. People generally group themselves according to their philosophies and beliefs. Now, that is true. There are things that, these are the things that form the strongest bond between people. It's what your philosophies are and what you believe. I mean, it overrides even family. Everybody acts like family is the strongest ties. No, it's not. It's what you believe.
That's right.
And it's the philosophies and the values you hold. That's the people you're gonna join yourself to.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, you know, a church ought to believe the Word of God. And we ought to have some values that we all believe and stick to. And that ought to join us together. That ought to make you comfortable to be around people that believe the same thing you do. It ought to make it a place, a sweet place, a refuge, a sanctuary for you. To have people that you can join together with and work with. And have for friends and influence on your kids if they believe like you. They think like you. They have the same values as you. This is how it happens. Birds of a feather do flock together. You can bank on that as a truth that's absolutely true. I've watched this through the years and there's more to it than I even understand. But I've watched kids. Kids I knew. And I knew what kind of character they had. My own kids. And I've watched them, who they would gravitate to when we'd go to a new place, didn't know anybody. Pretty soon you could see them. Somehow they find each other.
Yeah.
Both good and bad.
Yes.
So that's what really makes you join together. You join yourself to other people that think like you and believe like you do. That's what you do. That's what everybody does. We believe that what we do and have the opinions that we have because of who and what we listen to and are influenced by. Fact. You believe what you believe because of who you listen to. And who you let influence you. That's the number one thing. What causes division when we're all not listening to the same thing? When we all start listening to different voices and allowing input from other places. It's dangerous out there. That thing you got in your pocket right now is dangerous. It's a window to the world. I mean, it's your connection to the information highway. Where you can get all the opinions that exist and ever did exist. You can gather knowledge that people have that's true and false. You can get every take on every bit of knowledge that ever existed, from the most ungodly pagans to the wisest, most godly people who ever lived. So, what do you listen to? Who do you let influence your thinking? Better be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've harped on it for years, but all these talk people on the radio and everywhere, now it's podcast and everything, you know. I mean, there's no end to what you can listen to. And they influence your thinking.
Yep.
You can tell by your vernacular, am I saying that right? The way you talk.
Yes.
And you pick up things from them. You know, just like we laugh about Lucas, but he's just a tiny little human, and it's already there. I mean, he just repeats what he hears.
Sure.
Just like he did a while ago when you just everything. And that's just what people do.
Yep.
They get bigger, and it's not cute, and we don't think we do it, but we do.
Yes.
You hear it, and you just repeat it.
Yep.
Just like a little kid. And without even being conscious of it. And let me tell you what else happens. You hear it, and it influences your thinking, and you start thinking down trails that you wouldn't have if you hadn't listened to that. And it's the most deadly poison for your soul, but it also causes problems in your marriage, in your family. It causes problems in the church that you go to. If you start thinking differently, this is where division comes from. Division comes into a church or a family or a nation when someone starts listening to other voices and opinions. What is our problem in our nation? We are divided. More deeply divided than we've been since before the Civil War. We are polarized. I mean drastically polarized. Why? Because a big part of the people have been listening to these other voices. Everybody's been listening to them. But some people swallow the poison and some people spit it out. And the people that are spitting it out are getting fewer and fewer. And the wicked are on the ascent. They're rising and rising. They've got all the high places already. And they're ruling. The wicked are in authority. And the people mourn because of it. Why are we divided? Because of the colleges and the schools and the entertainment industry and the music industry and all of the influence from all of these wicked, ungodly people. And they've worked it like a fine-tuned plan. They had a strategy and they worked it while everybody slept and thought and coasted. And now this whole generation of young people, it's come up through these schools and colleges, and they want us to be communists. They want us to be socialists, and they're brainwashed, and they're as ignorant and unlearned about everything as they can possibly be. That we've let them quit teaching history. Let them quit teaching American history, and they have no clue where they come from, what was behind them. They don't know who they are. They have no identity because we let it be erased.
Yep, that's right. Yes.
Let a generation or two come up here without learning about our... When I was in school, we had George Washington and Abraham Lincoln's pictures on the walls and a flag. And we said a pledge of allegiance to the flag and one nation under God every day.
Yes, sir.
Some of the teachers prayed when I was in school. The Bible ladies came and sang to us once a month and taught us songs and showed us Bible stories and stuff. Used to be, our nation thought pretty much on the same.
Yes.
They can say, it never was a Christian nation. Well, that's how, it depends on how you define a Christian nation.
Right.
We used to be a much more unified country than we are now.
Yes,
the Democrats and the Republicans,
they've
always fought and carried on, but they used to have some respect and regard for one another. And they didn't do like what we seen last week here in this presidential debate that makes us all look like we're a bunch of fools and clowns, and because I guess we are. If that's the best we got, that's what we are. We're divided because we're listening to different voices. We squelched God and silenced God and the knowledge of God. And so what else is there to hear? The devil can speak freely. Anywhere, in the schools, in the colleges, through the music, on the TV, in the entertainment. He can speak freely everywhere.
Yes.
He's not squelched. It's God. And just Jesus in particular.
That's
right. Yeah. So, philosophies change when we start drinking in knowledge from poisoned sources. And that's what brings division into the church. Why do you think the church at Corinth was divided? Well, it was a wicked place. We've been reading in Matthew, and I tell you, I've been thinking a lot about this. During the time when Jesus came the first time, there had been 400 years of silence. I mean, no real prophets, no Spirit of God speaking, no revelation. Have you ever thought about what a time it was when Jesus walked on this earth? All these demon-possessed people everywhere. Darkness. No wonder it said, to them that sat in darkness, seen a great light.
Yes.
Jesus and John the Baptist came preaching and everything. You know, there was light again. But it was in a dark, dark place. This church started right after that, see?
Yeah.
I mean, here's a church that started. And we can be critical of them. And we can say, how could they do that? Like we know so much better. And we ought to know so much better. We've got all this 2,000 years of history of the church and everything, and through different, the Dark Ages and the Renaissance and all of that. We've come through all of this time. And the church has sailed right through it. We ought to be wiser. But you got to realize where they were. But I'm telling you this. They were under the influence of a wicked world, just like we are, just like you are. They come and met together, and they'd been out in the markets, and they'd been downtown, and they'd heard all the talk and seen all the wickedness and nakedness and filthiness and immorality around them. And it affected them. And it does us too. And then not only that, but there were the world, since it was in such darkness, there were all of these people who were trying to be wise and philosophize and give everybody instruction in what life's all about and what's the meaning of life and all of this. And, you know, like Paul on Mars Hill there, and they just sat around looking for something, talking about hearing something new all the time. They just wanted to find out something new. Here's some new story. Here's something else to think about. You don't need that. Not even in 2020. You don't need all that. You need God. And you need to think about God. And you need to think about Jesus coming back soon. And you need to think about the eternal Word of God. It's been the same ever since this church existed. Here's this book that says the exact same thing it always has. It's the Word of God. If we center our life around it, if we all read the Word of God every day, and if we have a mind that thinks the same, then this church could do great things. We'd be in one accord and one mind. And God blesses that. That's the only thing God can bless. That's what He's telling them here. You know, you can't do this. There's divisions among you. But, all right, divisions come when philosophies change, you know. And they change because we're hearing other voices and listening to them. Divisions come when we change our ambitions. Now listen to me so you can understand what I'm telling you about. Is what I was telling you all ago. Back years ago, we didn't have any ambitions except what was going on at church, to get these kids to come to church and get people to come to church and to have preaching that they could hear and get saved. And that's what we were about. That's what we thought about. That's what we lived for. And that's what we worked for and did everything about it. But ambitions change. You know, why does the church grow cold? Because people get other ambitions. They get other things that they need to do. They have other things that they want to spend their money on, their time on, their strength on. They have other things they want to think on. They just have other things they want to do. And that causes divisions in the church. When the people, you know, when people find someone or something else that they want to identify with, it really troubles me to see people. There's a few young people. There's a few young women that I know from the past, and I knew them when they were little bitty girls and watched them grow up, and they're just lost. They don't know who they are. They reinvent themselves every little bit. They got a different hairdo, different hair color, different wardrobe, different face. I mean, they're always changing themselves. I know some young men doing the same thing. They don't know who, and it bothers me because they don't know who they are, and they're searching, and they'll talk about church, and they go to church, and they have such a great time in church, but they're not. There's nothing to that. If they get in a real church that was in unity together, they'd be like-minded with the church, and they'd find who they are. They'd have an identity. They'd quit looking through the world and all of the examples that this ungodly world gives. Why do they want to have their hair looking like they do? I saw one this morning and it's just disgusting to me. I mean, just disgusting. Hair don't grow that color. Why do you want to color your hair like that? You're a mother. You have little children.
Yes.
You're a wife. You ought to be past all that.
Right.
There ought to be some stability in your life. There ought to be some unity in your home, in your marriage, in your family. Well, kids won't survive disunity in the home. They won't survive it. And young children in the church won't survive division in the church either. When the goals they want to achieve for themselves or the church, or the family, that's what happens when their ambitions change, the goals that they want to achieve. It changes from things to do for God, and living for God, and pleasing God, and wanting to spend your life for God, so that when you get old, like David we talked about this morning, you'll have something. You know, what you got going to be good enough when you get to that point? What are you going to have to tell your children to pass on to them? What have you accomplished? What do you hope to accomplish? What do you hope that your life amounts to? I don't know how many people ever think of that. I don't know why, but I thought of it when I was young. I thought, this is vanity. Why should my life amount to nothing more than this? Just working. Just working to make money, to pay the bills that are due every little bit. I mean, I'm not saying you don't have to work to pay bills and all that, but I'm just saying there's more to life than that. And if that's all your life amounts to, you ain't got a life. And it's a vain life. Well, everybody can't be a preacher, and everybody can't do... Yes, that's true. But you got a place in God's kingdom. And you got a place in the church. And you ought to just live up to it. You ought to do what you can with what you got where you are for God. You ought to keep the kingdom of God. You ought to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not your own things. Not your own pleasures. Not your own ideas and philosophies. And I mean, when you get grown, you ought to... I understand children and young people searching and trying to figure this thing out because they're still trying to figure it out. These little ones, I mean, they're learning about the world and it's just like a great big puzzle and they're just getting a little piece here and a little piece there and they're putting it all together so they have a view of the world and of life and all of that. Time you get old enough and you've got children and they're half grown, you ought to be over that searching and trying to figure out what's important, what's not important, what life's all about. You ought to have had that done a long time ago.
Yes, sir.
There ought to be some stability about you. You ought to know what you believe.
Yes, sir.
And you ought to stand on what you believe and not waver. A man that wavereth, he's like the sea. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. You can't waver. You can't be unstable. There can't be unity in a church when people are like that. You can't, that don't bring stability. That brings discord and confusion and division. Divisions come when somebody starts listening to the agenda of someone else who is passionate over some other cause. Well, let me tell you something. Are these talkers? Are they passionate about whatever it is there? What are they passionate about? Politics? Oh, I just can't. I just can't stand to hear, listen to them. You know, this debate the other night, who had it on their phone? Gary. Was that the house we... I just, man, how long did we watch it there? 2 minutes? I'm done with this. I ain't listening to this bunch of nonsense where they just... Neither one of them can... say anything because the other one's busy talking. News reports are the same way.
Yes.
They're all so passionate that they can't shut up and listen to nothing.
Yes, exactly. Right.
They're going to tell you. You just shut up. And that's what Biden told the president a couple times. Shut up! Mm-hmm. How's that for respect? Mm-hmm. And everybody's down on Trump because he's so rude and crude. And he is. He is. But how you get any worse than that? I mean, how in the world? Can you imagine? A sitting president of the United States, the highest office in the land, and you have no more respect than that? And you want to be president?
Right.
That's enough right there. I don't care what else he believed. I wouldn't vote for him. No circumstances. A man like that.
No.
Well, anyway, they're all passionate about their agenda. Well, it's easy for you to get... for you to catch their passion if you keep listening to them.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
And you know what it'll cause in your life? Division in your home, in your family, in your church. Because your mind's off on that nonsense. And that ain't got nothing to do with what Jesus wants us to be doing, thinking about. has no part in our purpose as a church. Everybody seems to have their own agenda of what's important, and they try to convince everybody else to agree with them. Don't fall into their trap. Don't get near their web or you'll get caught. The influences on your life, what you listen to and what you look at, are what you will be. Now, I promise you that's the truth. The influences that you allow on your life, that's what you're going to be. It's where you're headed.
That's right.
Turn it off.
Amen.
Turn away from it.
Amen.
Years ago, old Rush Limbaugh, the big mouth, he was always on the radio. And everybody over there listened to him. And I just, man, I got sick of listening to that pretty soon though. I seen how he treated people that called in trying to, you know, that said anything about them being a Christian. But he was done with them right now. He was bad as all the rest of the world. Wasn't going to let that talk go on. And they were his biggest fans.
Oh, yeah.
All the preachers and everybody. The spirit is wrong.
Yep.
The whole thing's wrong. Now, I've said it for a long time. The only reason he is just an actor, and he is just one of all of these guys, and women too, the talker, they're there to make money. He got filthy rich doing it. And all of them have, that have a following.
Oh, yeah.
And they sell stuff and make millions of dollars off of their things. It just has their name attached to it somehow.
Yep.
They sponsor. Remember, what was it? Rush Limbaugh sponsored. They sponsored him for that tea. It was some kind of tea, you know.
Snapple,
yeah. He made, well, there's no telling how much money he made off of them, by them. And the reason they did is because he had 20 million people listening to him every day for 3 hours. Blah, 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 for 3 hours.
Yes.
And playing his raunchy music.
Yep.
Oh, it was entertaining sometimes, but, you know, I know several preachers that just, you know, they said, I had to quit listening to him.
Yes, sir.
I was one of them. Mm-hmm. And once in a while since then through the years, I'd find him accidentally somewhere or see him on the news or something and listen to him a minute and I'd just be reminded, you know, I'm glad I don't have to listen to that anymore. All right, let me hurry. If a church or family or a couple or any group of people is to be in agreement, they have to have the same guide for the influences they allow on their lives. That's why in a church, when you realize that some of the people are drifting off into some worldly thing, whether it's entertainment or involvement of any kind, you know there's trouble coming for the church. Because they're drifting out there, they're wandering out there just like a sheep that's got outside the fence or found a hole in it, and he's out there in another place where he's in danger. He's going to pick up stuff and he's going to bring it back. He's going to get stuff in his mind, in his heart. He's going to have desires that are created from being out there and seeing and hearing. And he's going to pick up the way they think. He's going to pick up some ideas that make all of you look stupid. You don't know. You just don't know what I know. You all just stay in your little sheltered place and you never know anything. That's the attitude. See? Let me teach you. Well, then that don't go. So you got problems when you see that start happening. There are churches that make rules for conduct, and if you comply with the rules, you're accepted as a good member of the church. But the thing about this is that it's no different than any other worldly organization. You know, I suppose if you belong to the Ku Klux Klan, they got some rules you got to go by. And if you don't, you get kicked out.
Yep.
I expect that's the way it is. The church can't operate like that.
No.
The Spirit of God is the difference in the people of God. That's what the difference is here. He's our guide to all truth. Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." So the biggest reason for the disunity and division in the church is the lack of people who are filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit of God. Now there's the answer right there. How many people really walk after, are led by the Spirit? And how many people really just walk after the flesh? Right. Do you, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Judge yourself.
Yeah.
Do you, are you led by the Spirit? Or do you just walk after the flesh? Mm. I mean, do an inventory of your desires and opinions. What's really important to you? Do an inventory of your time, your money, where it all goes.
Yeah.
How much does God get? If you're filled with the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit. I mean, we read there this morning about David, and he said, "What? Who among you is ready to give to to dedicate yourself?" That's not the word he used. To God, to the service of God. And a bunch of people answered, and they did. Do an inventory on yourself. So the biggest reason is the lack of Spirit-filled, Spirit-led people. They're walking after the flesh, guided by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're in the midst of the church, which is bound to cause division. Now, you're not going to be led by the Spirit if you're looking at your phone all the time. You got to put that thing down.
Yes.
And think.
Yes, sir.
You got to put it down and read your Bible once in a while.
Yes.
I'll read it on my phone. Well, what do you do when those notifications pop up there?
Yeah.
I can't read and think about the Bible while somebody's just pecking on my shoulder all the time.
No.
Or somebody's in the other room. Dad. I can't read the Bible. Well, you can't read the Bible either on your phone when it's ping, 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 wong, ping, brrr, whatever it does.
Yep, that's right.
A lot of you keep your sound turned off, but it's still flashing those things in front of you all the time. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I'm about done here. There's only one solution and one way for the church to be in one accord. Now, are you listening to me? And I'm going to be done here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? How can you get along with an infidel? You can't. You can be kind to them. I mean, you can help them if they're in need. You don't have to be rude and mean and unkind. But you can't be friends with them.
No.
What do you got to talk about? Their philosophy is completely different. Their values are completely different.
That's right.
No. The way they think is completely different than you. So two cannot walk together except to be agreed. What concord hath, you know, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? None. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And here's the only way to do away with the division in the church. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. What is be separate mean? Get away from them. Don't listen to their philosophies. Well, we're in the world and we got to see them all the time. Yeah, we do. But you don't have to listen to them.
Yeah.
You don't have to trot yourself over there to drink of the same trough they're drinking of. You don't have to go to them to hear what they got to say. What in the world? He was talking about Falwell today. I remember years ago when his dad, the original Jerry Falwell, had infidels come into Liberty University. He had Ted Kennedy come in one time. That was one of the first things he did. So they could hear his side of the story. Christian College, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist Christian College, and have an infidel, a whoremonger, and a wretch come in and tell his students, all these Christian students that are paying big money to go to that college, and whose parents trusted him with their care, bring somebody like that in to talk to him and let him hear his side of the story. No, you don't do that. That's unscriptural as it can be. Be separate. Be separate. We are not of the world. If you belong to God, you're not of the world. So get away from them. And I mean, don't, you just don't go the same places they go to do the same things they do, to enjoy the same things they enjoy. There's plenty on this earth to enjoy without yoking up with unbelievers. Go there and listen to them cuss. Go there and look at their nakedness. Listen to their immorality and their filthy, ungodly, blasphemous talk. I've never understood why anybody would want that. But you go do that and then come and sit in a church and listen to the preaching of the Word of God, you're not going to be happy, and you're going to sow discord in the church, because this won't work that way. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So that means more than just than marrying unbelievers or being in some kind of a business partnership with them. That verse means more than that. Now, years ago, that's how they interpreted it. You shouldn't go in business with somebody who's an unbeliever, and you shouldn't marry an unbeliever. But it says, come out from among them and be separate. It's more than that. It's more than that. It means to learn from those that love God. And it, you know, that when you do that, it means not giving them your ear or your eye or your mind. To be separate from them means not to give them your ear, your eye, or your mind. It means to learn from those that love God and live holy lives and learn not the way of the heathen. That's a verse in the Old Testament. Learn not the way of the heathen. Don't learn it. You don't need to know what they do, what they think, their opinions. You don't need to know that in order to better help them or reach them. You're not going to reach them by being one of them. Jesus was separate from sinners. The Bible says that. Well, he ate with them. He fed them. He ate at some of their houses. But he didn't party with them. He wasn't like-minded with them. When he did go, he's the one who did the talking. He was the prevailing influence there. Right. You're not the prevailing influence when you go down among a whole crowd of ungodly people in their big in their partying and whatever they do. Yep. It means to strive to learn of the holy and strive to ignore the profane and ungodly of the world. This is what this means. Y'all listening? It means to be strong enough in the Lord and the knowledge of the holy to be an influence on them instead of falling under the influence of their deceit and ignorance. Come out among them, be separate, saith the Lord. That's what it means. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're to let our light shine. We're not to be overtaken by them. And that's what causes division in the church. Always. What causes division in the church is when people in the church go out there and are influenced by the world. And then they start thinking crazy. And they don't understand these things anymore. And they think you're crazy. Because you just don't know. You live in a hole. You don't know. I don't need to know how this... I've been living here for 63 years plus now. I know about this world. There ain't nothing you know I don't know. I don't have to go out there and look at it again and listen to them again. I know what they think. I know what they believe. I'm okay with just being separate from them. How you ever win anybody? That is the only way you ever win anybody to Christ. You're not going to win them by being like them. You're not going to win them by changing the church into a nightclub so they'll come. They can do that all over the world. Why would they want to come to a church that's a nightclub? That ain't being separate. Divisions. Divisions. You got to get along. You got to do more than get along. You got to do more than respectfully disagree. You got to be like-minded. You got to think alike. You got to have the same values, view things the same. And it can't always be up in question. It can't always be challenged. The truth is the truth. And it ought to stay the truth. That's why churches die. Because there's division. Because people got out there in the world and brought the world into the church and in the world. And then it's division and it dies. Every church that dies, what happens? They have a big fight first.
Yes.
They run the preacher off. Or half of them will leave because there's some big mess and fight going on. Division.
Yep.
Division won't happen if everybody's focused on Christ.
Right.
If everybody's living in the Word of God. If everybody's led by the Spirit of God, there'll be unity and like-mindedness.
That's right.
And there won't be all different opinions, and there won't be all different desires and ambitions and visions for the church. Everybody will have the same vision. Everybody will have the same hope and attitude and ambition.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
I hear there's divisions. I hear there are divisions among you, he said. We got to do something about that. I mean, there was adultery, there was fornication, there was drunkenness, there was all these things going on in this church. And the first thing he dealt with was this. Go to the root of the problem first, and then deal with the rest of it as you come out from there. A house divided cannot stand. Where there's envying and strife, there's every evil work. Every evil work. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth we've looked at here tonight. I pray you'd help us here, Lord, to be of one mind and one accord in our purpose, in who we are, what's right and wrong, and who you are, and what it means to please you and live for you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we want to be in one accord here, and we want to move forward and be able to fulfill the purpose that you put us here to do. Lord, surely time is short. No matter how we look at it, whatever we look at, we know that our age, the way the world is around us, the time that we live in, we know that we don't have a lot of time to sit and spin our wheels and fool around. We need to be what we need to be, and we need to be doing what we can do in this hour to reach people and to help the lost come to know you. Please help us, I pray. And give us wisdom and instruction and what to go. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive and be led by your Spirit. Pray you'd bless the time of fellowship here and bless the food that we're going to eat to our body. And I pray everybody to have a safe trip home tonight. And I pray that you would work in our hearts this week and help us, Lord, to focus on being in agreement with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.